speak this Sunday coming up. And today, part three, I want to speak about the power of the word. John 15:7 says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will. And what does it say? Let's say it together. And it shall be done. What you have to do is speak the word. You can't just have it in your brain. You have to actually speak it out. Because, believe it or not, there is something powerful about speaking out the word. If ye abide in me. Now, there are some conditions. There are some conditions. Number one, you have to abide in me. And my words abide in you. The words that we speak are not supposed to be just from us, but from the Spirit. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And, you know, I've gotten, when it comes to financial things now, I need to spread that faith into other areas, because God has done so many miraculous financial things that it would be so stupid of me to now doubt him, because he has done miracle after miracle. What is the most powerful force in the universe? Love? God, yes. How does that, though, manifest? How does love manifest? How does God manifest? How does he relate? Through spirit, but again, actions. And what actions does God do? He speaks. That's how God relates. He speaks. He speaks. When God wants to do something, he doesn't actually go and do it through like we do it. He just speaks. He just speaks. He just brings the word. So the most powerful force, I believe, when it's put into tangible activity is the word. Love is translated into an action, and the action is when God speaks. For God so loved the world that he gave, and that he gave his only son. And now, what is that son? John 1:1. The word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and God, the word was God. And then it says in verse 10, he was in the world. What was in the world? The word. So God's love in action is his word. And the word incarnate is Jesus. Through faith, through belief, we understand that the worlds were framed. Those of you who have done construction, you know, one of the first things you do is you have to frame the building. Before you put the sheetrock, the first thing you do, you get the 2x4s and the studs and the 6x2s, and you have to frame the building. The Bible says that this whole universe was framed by the word of God. How did he do it? The Bible said the Spirit of God moved, and God said, let there be. That is such the most powerful three words in the universe is when God says, let there be. Because as I've said so many times, what's the answer? Let's say it like we mean it. When God says, let there be, the only reply is, and it was so. Because when God speaks, there is an action. There is a result. 10 times in Genesis, God said, let there be. And every time he said that, something happened. Something happened. And what we have to get to the place is understand that we are now on earth in God's stead. That's why I said last week, instead of praying and asking God to do something for us, what we should do is just command, like you did. What was your word? Take charge. You said that what you were trying to get the message out was to take charge. See, we're asking God to do something, and he said, I've already given you the authority. You know, it's like going to someone and say, can you give me some money? And they said, I've already deposited it in your account. When they've deposited it in your account, what are you supposed to do if you want the money? You go use it. You don't keep asking them for the money if they've already given it to you. The trouble is we are so scared and so fearful of failure. Well, what if I pray and it doesn't happen? Well, you know the example we have in the Bible. Who was a great example of that? Who prayed and it didn't happen? Elijah. He prayed 7 times. He prayed that it should rain, right? And he sent his servant and he didn't see any rain right away. So what did Elijah do? He prayed again. But here's where the faith comes in. He was expecting it to rain. That's why he sent his servant. He had no doubt it was going to rain. He just needed to keep praying. That's what, where we fall down. When it doesn't happen, we already give up. You can keep praying until you get an answer. Now, the answer might be no. The answer might be wait. But the answer can be yes. But you should keep praying until you are sure you have gotten an answer. See, I kept praying for a year before God explained to me what he was doing with this mortgage thing. Because imagine if he'd answered my prayer after 3 months. How much mortgage would I have? How much money would I have saved? Only 3 months. So God let it go for 16 months so that when the answer came through, now how much money did I save? See, if I hadn't understood, which I didn't at first, I was saying, Lord, well, why is this situation? God knew what he was doing. I just had to catch up and understand that the longer it took, the greater the miracle, the greater I was going to be blessed. If he had answered me when I first started praying after 2 months and they had, all we'd have saved would have been 2 months' money. He let it go 16 months. He let it go 16. So now when they canceled what we owed, it was $32,000. See, Daniel prayed for 21 days. When you understand how God works, when you trust him, when you know the relationship, you will not doubt. You'll know that there's another reason. You'll start be patient. See, if there's someone who you love and loves you, the first thing you think of when they don't answer is not because they've stopped loving you, is it? No. You think, okay, their phone must be dead. There must be. It's not because I'm going to go home and the furniture's cleared out and my wife has disappeared. No. If I can't reach her, there's some other reason. But when we talk to God and he doesn't answer instantly, oh, it's because he doesn't love me. Something's happened. He hates me. I'm condemned. See how we doubt and fear. But if his words abide in us, if his words abide in us, that means we know he loves us. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That means because we don't understand, we get worried. You know, well, Lord, they're not doing anything. But after about a year, I started to see God's plan. The longer this went on, the greater the miracle. We can see this in the story of Lazarus, right? When Martha first sent word, look, please, Jesus, come now. My brother's dying. He's very sick. Jesus said, well, you know what? I'm going to stay here a little bit longer. Maybe God is wanting to get glory in your situation. Maybe the miracle is going to be so big that it will so boost your faith when it happens. You know, if Jesus had come and healed Lazarus of a bad cold, we'd never hear that story. We'd not known anything about it. But Jesus waited until Lazarus was dead. Amen. Now, I'm going to get back to this. I'm going off topic here. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by just the word of God. How did God do it? He spoke. He spoke. He said, let there be. And it was so. That things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That means every single thing you see, the atoms, the molecules, the matter, did not exist without the word of God. Now, how God did it, I don't know. Science doesn't even know. Even in their scientific theories, they don't really know how the universe started. They say an explosion out of nothing created everything. That's what they say. So they don't have an explanation able to satisfy. But we have an explanation that God said, let there be. And it was so. Genesis 1:3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. Everything that God does involves speech. God called, named. See, that showed dominion. I said before, who names the baby, a stranger or the parents? Why? Because it's their baby. You need to take charge, as she said, of your situation. You say, this depression is not going to have triumph over me. This financial situation is not going to triumph over me because you are taking dominion. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So the scripture tells us that there's only one thing that is eternal. There's only one thing that is truly eternal. The Word. The Word. Look at this. Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Wow, that's very profound. Invisible things are clearly seen. What is the invisible things that are clearly seen? We can see the result of the Word. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I was teaching a class yesterday, and we talked about this scripture. It says, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. What it's saying is that by his Word, which is invisible, we can see the result of the invisible Word, which is the creation. The creation. Who's ever been out in a desert where you can see all the stars? I told a story of going to Arizona, and we were driving out into the desert, and I said, stop. I needed to get out the vehicle and just look, because I grew up in a city, and you know, in a city you can hardly see just the brightest stars, but I just had to get out in the middle of the night there, turn off the engine, and I just went out into the desert, and I just stared up at God's creation. That's the result of the Word, let there be. Imagine if you let God speak three words into your life. Let there be. If you will let God, he says, if my Word abide in you, you can ask whatsoever you will. Sister Joanne's testimony so inspired me because she put into practice what we've been teaching. She spoke to her situation. By all rights, they should have disconnected her electricity. The bill was $1,200. Right? And she said, no, I don't have the money to pay you, and you're not turning off the lights. Now, in the movies, the Star Wars, where they have this thing called the Force, and he says this, and they say, okay, I'm going to do that. But we have something much more real than that. This Force isn't a movie Force. It's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's his eternal Word. And you don't have to be a Jedi warrior. You just have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's all you need. You need to speak to your situation. Speak to your situation. You just have to take authority. You understand that Adam, as I've taught before, was a son of God. And as I've said before, he had, I believe, all the characteristics and dominion that Jesus had. Just as she did, she commanded the dove to come and sit. Adam did that. He commanded the animals to come, and he named them. My father told a testimony of walking home one night late from church, and these two Doberman pinchers just ran down the road about to leap on him. And he just commanded them to sit. And about 2 feet before, they just came and sat at his feet. They were just about, you know, we need to just be like Elisha. He said, if I see Elijah ascend, that means I'm going to get what? A double portion. The double portion was the sign of inheritance. If you got the double portion, that meant you were the inheritor. So he saw Elijah and says, well, I'm going to try this thing out. So he takes his cloak and he comes to the river and he says, I'm going to see if this thing works. And he hits the river and guess what? It parts. It's time for us to not just come to church, the Bible says, and be hearers of the Word. But I challenge you this week to speak to your situation, just as she did. Whatever you're facing, maybe it's since you prayed for my thumb, can you see it's moving now? It's not clicking. Usually arthritis doesn't go backwards, but look at this. A few weeks ago, I was in great pain and could not, it was, even when I tried, I had to actually physically do that. Now look at this. And all of this side of my hand too, I was telling you I was feeling arthritis. Well, I am declaring, and I'm going to keep believing that I don't go backwards, that God is going to continue. That, to you, that might be a small thing. But I tell you, once this thumb started to seize up, I found it so difficult to even write. We need to start speaking to our situation. I challenge you this week to do that, because it's the invisible things, i.e. the Word of God, that is truly eternal. It's not a car, a computer, clothes, those things start to degrade as soon as you buy them. As soon as you drive off the lot, you can't sell that car for what you paid for it. You know, the odometer tells you it's, you know, how many miles it's got. It starts to degrade. You know, the song that they sing at funerals, Abide With Me, one of their lines says, change and decay in all around I see, but thou who changest not, abide with me. So the only truly eternal thing is actually invisible. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. This is what Jesus said. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Do you understand that, what that means? If you really believe and you take it into yourself, his words, the word will never pass away. If you truly believe that I will never leave you nor forsake you, or that I, my God, shall supply some of my needs, 20% of them. If you really stretch out on faith, I'm going to believe that. Watch what God will do for you. You know, as I've been telling you about my job, I know this is going out on the internet. I just hope none of them ever listen to it. But, you know, God has just been so miraculous at my job because he knows that I can't put into it and do this at the same time the way I would like to. And he's just been giving me favor just incredibly, like with no, you know, that's a great miracle to me. Just such a wonderful miracle because I haven't done really anything. God just gives me revelation at work. Gives me revelation at work. And I'm just so great. But God can give you favor even when you're in a prison. Look at Joseph, thrown in a prison, but God gave him favor. Within a short time, he was the top trustee in the prison. And that wasn't where God was finished with him. He took him out of the prison to be the second highest man in Egypt. What we have to learn, start to do is to start to look at our mountain and speak to it. Who here has a mountain that they're dealing with? Some of us have a range. It's not one mountain, it's a range. You know what the Bible says? Every mountain will be made what? Low. God can do that. When he comes back, he's going to make everything that was an obstacle, a barrier, he's going to flatten it. He's going to bring it down. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Brother Frederick.
I just want to say that, like sometimes, you know, he was just talking about speaking to your mountain, speaking to you. I actually spoke to a mountain in my life for 22 years. I constantly told that thing, you're going to die. But I just kept seeing it was looking like it'll never die. But I constantly, and the 22nd year I counted it, mountain be removed.
Amen. Amen. You know, that's what I say. The trouble with us is we give up. We give up. Daniel prayed for an answer. 21 days he waited. 3 weeks he was fasting. Now, if he had quit on the 20th day, who would know whether he would have received the answer? But when you have faith and trust in God, you will wait. The Bible says, wait patiently. They that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings. But the hard part is the waiting. None of us like doing that, right? As I said, when I was trying to talk with the mortgage company, months go by, we put in paperwork, they would lose it, they would keep losing it. And I was getting frustrated till it came to the year, and I remember kneeling down at my bedside and praying, and God said, I've got this, it's okay, you're not going to lose. And from that point on, for the next 6 months, no matter what they said, I knew what the answer, so that even when they sent me a letter saying no, I said, no, this isn't right. Call them up and I said, hey, this isn't right. And they said, no, it's not right. That's a letter that they sent me. That wasn't like my imagination. They said, no, we refuse you. But when I called up and I said, this cannot be right, they said, no, it's a mistake. God will honor your faith. But we need to start believing who we are. Who are we? The Bible says, now are ye what? I want you to say, I am a son of God. Say it like you mean it. I am a son of God. If you are, then that means you have dominion. I like that. I think God set this up today. We had two testimonies that kind of lined up with one. She told the dove to come and sit beside her. And it came and sat beside her. And then she told the dove to stay there. And the dove stayed there till she told the dove to leave. Now, you see, that took some faith to try that. We'd say, well, that's stupid. But God wanted to make a point. We need to speak to our situation. I am guaranteeing you, I'm declaring, if you will speak to your situation this week without doubt, without wavering, not in pride, but in humility, and understand where the source of the power comes from, you shall have what you ask for. Amen. Because God has said, Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth, all the things you can see will pass away, but my word will never pass away. My words shall not pass away. Now, how do we get to that point where we can speak faith? Well, before we speak, we should do what? Think. Time we get into trouble is when we speak before we think. What we have been teaching on in some of the months before was what? Meditation. Meditation is thinking. What you have to do is get, the Bible says, if the word abide in you. So how do you get the word in you? You got to meditate upon it. You got to start thinking about it. I've said so many times, who has a sword in here? You got a sword? Quote me a scripture. Okay. So if you, by sword, I mean you need to have a word that you can pull out. That you can pull out. If you don't have it, that means you don't have a sword. See? Even if it's just, let me see, Psalm 23, right? Even if it's that, everyone knows that. Hopefully it's not Jesus wept. But even that one I think is powerful. If it's the word of God, I still believe it's powerful. But you need a sword, right? You need a sword. Not to get too secular, but I don't know if you remember the movie. There was a movie some time ago called Crocodile Dundee. You remember that movie? And the guy pulled this little 5-inch blade and he says, that's not a knife. This is a knife. You need to get a word. You need to get a big word. You know, when the devil comes with his little, you know, thou shalt worship, you know, Jesus put out, it is written. That wasn't a knife that the devil brought. Jesus brought out a sword. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. Do you see how God deals with situations? Jesus gave us the perfect example. Even though he was tempted, he pulled out something that could deal with the situation. Do you have a sword that can deal with your situation? If you're in sickness, tell me a scripture that you can deal with that situation. Okay. You need to start saying that. Now, I saw a commercial. You know, the Olympics is going on. And they've been running this commercial with this, I think he's a, what's that multi-sport, decathlon or something? It was five. And he's in the car, and he's on his way to the Olympics, and he's just repeating this phrase to himself. And I can't remember the phrase, but he's telling himself how great he's going to be. We need to tell the devil, through Christ, I can do all things. All things. There's nothing I can't do. Okay. There is nothing I can't do. We need to speak to our situation. This is a powerful thing, but most of us won't do it. Instead, we say, Lord, you fix it. And God is looking at us and saying, what's wrong with you? I've given you everything. The Bible says for godliness, right? The scripture says, I've given you everything that you need. Why do you keep coming back to ask me? You're not doing it the way I told you to do it. All you have to do is to make sure you have the word abiding. If it was me, I'm going to make sure I have a sword for every situation. I'm not going to bring a little 2-inch blade. Like Crocodile said, that's not a knife. That's not a knife. We need to pull out something that when the devil sees it, he says, okay. The devil left him for a season and angels came and ministered. Amen. So we need to start to meditate. And we see this modeled even in the manifestation that God brings of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Look, John 3:11 says, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know." So that's the key. You can't speak stuff you don't really believe in, else it won't have no power. Isn't that what it says? You have to speak things that you know. We love to quote that scripture, Romans 8, what's it, 28? All things work together for good to them that love God. And what have I said is the most important part of that verse? The first three letters, first three words. It says, "And we know." You can quote the rest of it and it won't have no power if you don't know that that's the truth. If you don't believe that that's the truth. But when you can say, "And we know that all things, even this sickness that the devil has tried to put me, it's somehow going to make me stronger. Even this job I just lost, God has got a better one for me. Even this blessing that was coming my way, this car I thought I was going to get, I'm going to get a better one. Because, and I know that all things. See, where we get weak is we look at it and it doesn't look as if it could be a blessing because we're looking at it the wrong way. I saw an illustration somebody put on Facebook, and I don't know if it was you. Somebody put on Facebook, there was a number, 6, on the ground. And one person was looking at this way, and he says it's a 6. And someone was looking at this way and says it's a 9. And they started arguing. See, we're looking at it and saying it's just a 6, but God is saying, listen, I've given you a 9. You need to change the way you're thinking. You need to get God's perspective. Then the 6 becomes suddenly a much bigger number. You're looking at your thing and thinking. You see, I was looking at it when they didn't give us the help we needed as if, man, it's getting worse and worse. But God was saying, I'm just giving you a bigger and bigger miracle. Bigger miracles coming along. If God had given me the answer in 3 months, they'd have only gotten rid of 3 months' mortgage. But instead, it was 16 months' mortgage. I had to change around and look at it as a 9 rather than as a 6. You're looking at your problem right now as if it's a 6, and God is saying, no, that's really a 9. You just need to turn around and look at it differently. See, we speak that we know. So you can't get up and suddenly start speaking in faith when you don't really believe it. You have to know it. It has to be in you. You have to absolutely believe what you're saying, because the devil will know if you're lying. You know that? You won't be able to fake him out. But if you believe that God can answer your problem, he'll look at you and he'll leave. He'll run. The scripture says, truly, truly, I say unto thee, we speak, this was John, or Jesus, we speak that we know and testify that we have seen, and he receive not our witness. You see, we can only speak to the devil things that we truly believe. So it's no use going to the devil and saying, God may help me in this situation. God, if you want to help me in this situation, if you want to help me in this situation, please feel free to. That's not a prayer of faith, is it? No, that's a prayer of doubt, Sister Browning.
I think a good example in the Bible are the sons of Sceva, when they tried to cast out the devils and said, by the God whom Paul believeth. They didn't have faith in themselves, and the enemy overpowered them, and the prayer definitely didn't work.
Amen. You can't pray on someone else's faith. You can't say because pastor believes. No, you have to have faith for yourself. This is a personal salvation. It can't depend on someone else. Now, they can help you. They can encourage you. You can hear what God has done from some, but you have to come to a personal place of belief. The Bible says that God is a rewarder of them that believe that he is. That means you have to first believe that he exists. He's not a rewarder of them that don't believe that he exists. He's a rewarder of them that believe that he is. That's what the scripture says. Amen. So first we have to believe it. We have to get the word in us before we can speak it. We need to get a sword. We have to have some scripture, some word of God that, you know, when the devil comes with his little knife, we can pull out some big words. That's what Jesus did. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. I don't have to need a job to be alive. Jesus, talking to his disciples, says, even the grass of the field, Solomon, all his glory was not arrayed. They were not, his best robe full of gold was not as beautiful as a flower. Solomon is all his glory. We cannot do anything to make my hair go, you know, I can use dye. But you know what? It doesn't stay. Have to do it in a few weeks. We can't do it permanently, but God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all. But we first have to ask or think. Remember what I said? You have to think it. It has to first get inside of you before you can even speak it. Amen. So we have to have thoughts. And then from thoughts, we can then speak it. Comes speech. And then from speech, the Bible says that faith comes from. When you start to declare things, it's a loop. Because what you have said is actually coming back into you. And it's a loop. Faith comes by hearing. So we have to first have it in our thoughts. Get some word in you. Then you can speak it. And in speaking it, you're going to start hearing it. And God has just declared a law that faith comes by hearing. And then by hearing, you will have more thoughts. That's why some people get stronger and some people get weaker, because they haven't got into that loop. David encouraged himself. And I know we've said that a lot. When no one else was there to encourage him, the Bible said David encouraged himself. How did he do that? I think he started speaking to himself. He probably said, you know, I was 17. I didn't really want to be king. The prophet came and he anointed me to be king. And God has been doing miracles all my life. I escaped Saul. I killed the bear and the lion. And then I had to face Goliath. And when he started to think about the goodness of Jesus. See, that's how you start to build faith. Think about what God has already done. If I get into financial trouble, I just have to start thinking, wow, remember when you did that for me? When you delivered me out of this? See, that's what David did when he was going to Goliath. He started to speak to him. You uncircumcised Philistine, who you think you are? You're coming with this sword and the shield, but you know what I'm coming with? What did he say? What did he say I'm coming with? Right now, Goliath was looking at this little skinny youth and thinking, what is this thing? He's got this little string on us. You think he's going to match me? What he couldn't see was the invisible, which is the eternal, which is the. You come in the name of all these things, but I come in the name. It wasn't even his sling. It wasn't the stone. It was the word of God that defeated Goliath. We have so many examples in Scripture. We have no excuse to be defeated. You know that? We have zero excuse to be defeated and come in here on Sunday morning looking all draggly and defeated. And we really have no excuse. Thou art without excuse. So isn't that what the Scripture said? Because God has made plain his eternal Godhead and power. So if either we believe it or we don't. Brother Jesse?
It came up in conversation this weekend for us. But this is so important, because when we hear, when Peter was in the boat, right, and he saw Jesus walking on the water, Peter, you know, he said he got a word from God, right? That word was come, right? And so when God gives us a word, all of creation has to change to allow that word to come to pass. Amen. Right? So what is the word that we have been given? And we just need to not only be hearers, but be doers also, as James tells us.
Amen.
Right? And so when we not only hear, but we do, and we're obedient to God's word, that mountain will have to part. Right?
Amen. 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 Now, I said that thought, speech, and hearing are related to the manifestations of Godhead. So let me go down there. So I'm going to show you that the three relationships between thought, speech, and hearing are the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's look at this. In the beginning was the Word, which was the thought, the Logos. And the Word was with God. So God gives us the example. First comes the thought, and then the creation, the creative act. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Isaiah 55:8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. That's why we're looking at it as 6 when God is saying, you know, I've given you a 9. And you're saying, no, I can only see a 6. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways, your ways, my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. So many times we're in situation, it's because we cannot see from God's perspective. He said in Jeremiah, in the scripture that we always quote, you know, I have the plans. Jeremiah, was it 29? The thoughts that I think, I know the thoughts. But so many times we get, because we have messed up, because we have not been perfect, the moment something happens and God doesn't instantly answer us, we begin to doubt and say, well, maybe he's condemned me. Maybe he's forgotten me. What kind of a parent is that? You know, I've told the example that when a baby is born, when do the parents start loving it? After he's started to walk, now I'm going to love you because now you're a baby that I like. Now you can walk. Maybe after the baby's potty trained, now you're my son. You've been messing up all these 2-3 years. Now I love you because you can go to the bathroom by yourself. No, the reason why the baby is loved is because it belongs to the parents. Not because it stopped pooping. Not because it goes to sleep when you want to. No. God loves you because you're his child. Not because he doesn't start loving you when you become perfect, because then he would never love any of us. It's his raising of us that brings us to perfection. When we're born, we're messing up every 2 hours. We're crying every 2 hours. But as we start to grow in Christ, we learn to be potty trained. But that's not when God, he loved us the instant we came to him. If we could hold on to that thought, if we could just embrace that and just say, God loves me. Let's say it. Okay. Now, we said it, but do we believe it? The proof, if you believe it, is to now say, I am perfect. Now, you need to say that till you believe it. You know what makes us perfect? His love. A baby that's born, when they first come out, you know, they cry and they look at them and they clean them up and they weigh them. And it's a perfect baby. Now, that may be the ugliest baby you've ever seen. You know, let's be honest. Some babies don't look that, you know, they don't have the perfect round, unless, you know, it was a C-section. You understand what I'm talking about. They come out with all the pointy head, you know, all scrunched up. You know, but that's a perfect baby. Now, in 21 years, if that still, that's wrong. As I said, if you have a 21-year-old still going around in diapers, crawling along the floor, that's not right anymore. That's not perfect. But for a baby, that's perfect. And you see the parents, oh, what a beautiful baby. You know, they come and what a beautiful baby. You better say yes, but a beautiful baby. Oh, how cute. Better say yes, because it is a beautiful baby, because it's a baby. You see, God looks at things so differently than we do. And if we could just go around and see that he's given us a 9, and we keep saying, well, God, I only got a 6, we would change our thinking, and then we would speak faith. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil. It's the devil that comes to seek to kill and destroy. Not God. That's a lie from hell. That's a lie. The Bible says he gives good gifts. In fact, a perfect being can only give perfect things. If God was to give less than his best, he would cease being God. A perfect being can, by definition, can only do perfect things. So it's the devil that's lying to you and taking down your faith and making you doubt. But I'm telling you, if you could ever believe, get the thought in you that he makes me perfect. He makes me perfect. Walk before me, Abraham, and I declare you perfect. Just start the journey. Just start leaving the stuff where you were a messed up guy. Take the first step, Abraham. I declare you perfect. And the way God does that is because he is seeing the end result. He calls those things that are not as though they be so. It's not because I am perfect, but he's looking at the end. He's looking at the future. He's looking at his finished work. On Calvary, he said, it is finished. The Bible says when he comes back, he's not coming back to deal with sin. What does that mean? That means he's already dealt with every single mess up, problem, issue, failure you've ever done. Bible says he's not coming back to deal with sin. He's coming back to finish the perfection. And when he leaves, he's going to take a perfect church. That's why we're still here, because we still aren't quite perfect. But he's not coming back, the scripture says, to deal with sin. He has dealt with it. Now it's for us to believe that word. When he said it is finished, you need to get that word in here and tell the devil when he comes, he said it's finished. Man's redemption is paid. It is finished. When he said it was finished, what happened to that curtain? It tore in two. He broke down the separation, the middle wall of partition. That means we can come to God boldly. Hebrews 4:16, now we can come to a throne of grace boldly. But some of us don't come boldly because the devil says, you messed up, you're no good, you're a failure. You've always been a failure. That's why they call you a loser. I heard something very sad on the news. The police came and they took this, I think this little girl, and they asked her name. And she said her name was Idiot. Because that's what she had been called. She's only like 3 or 4. That was the name that they called her, Idiot. So you see, the devil wants to call you a failure. Now, what are you going to answer to? What words are you going to speak? Are you going to say, yes, I'm a failure? No. You need to tell him, devil, you're a liar, because Jesus said it is finished. I have that word in me. I'm going to give it back to you. I'm going to speak to you and say, it is finished. I am perfect. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Whenever we get that, whenever we can get to that point, we will have dominion. We will be able to say to that dove, come and sit by me and keep me company. You'll be able to say to the electricity, no, you can't turn that off because there's going to be light in Goshen. You can say to the mortgage company, listen, my father is rich in houses and land. He's got a place for me whether you throw me out of here or not. I don't depend upon my job for my sustenance. I don't depend on the government for my food. He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He anointeth my head with oil. My cup is going to run over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. See, you got to do like Crocodile Dundee. Pick up, pull out the big sword. Tell the devil, hey, that's not a knife. This is a knife. Submit to God. The Bible says, and the devil will flee. But you have to know it. You can't just speak it. Or else you'll be like the 7 sons of Sceva. Well, let's try this exorcism thing. I see these Christians do it. Let me try it. In the name of the Christ that Paul preaches. That didn't work too well for them. The devils leapt out and possessed them and beat them up and had them naked running out the place. You have to get this in you. But when you get it in you, when you believe it, when you really have eaten the words, then you can speak faith. Yes, then shall he call upon me, verse 12, and he shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken. It means I will listen unto you. Do you believe that? God hears everything you say. Now again, if it doesn't happen instantaneously, there's a reason. Not because he doesn't love you, not because you're condemned, but he has a process or a plan. And sometimes we just have to wait patiently. Maybe we'd have to be like Elijah. All right, go pray again. He prayed 7 times before it really started to rain. But he didn't stop because he knew God had said, it's time for it to rain. So if it's time for it to rain in your life, if you have to pray 7 times, you keep praying. But not doubting. It's just a matter of waiting patiently upon the Lord. We're almost out of time, and I'm only up to slide 6 of 19. So we didn't get too far in this lesson. Let's just finish this up. The spoken word. For I have not spoken of myself. Here's an example. The word that Jesus spoke, he said he didn't even speak it of himself. But the Father which sent me, he gave me commandment what I should say and what I should speak. That's what we need today. It's not just blurt out stuff of our own. But when you have a word from God, You can quote it back to the devil. You can stand upon that word. My word, you know, as I told you before, my mother used to say I'm a promising boy. Because I would promise to take out this garbage. I would promise to clean my room. I'd promise to do this. She said, you're a promising boy. Now, I meant it when I said it. But I wasn't able to always do it. But God's word will never fail. Never fail. In him are the promises of God are yea and amen. That means yes and let it be so. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. I'm telling you that once we start to have the word of God abiding in us and believe it, we can speak to our situation, speak to your mountain, and it will have to move. It will. If you are walking in sonship, if you are a son of God, you can do just like Adam. You can do just like Jesus. You can walk on water. I told him I'm not boasting. I just. This is what I believe. This is what I believe. I believe God has told me come. And so I've been able to get out of my boat, even in a storm. And he has allowed me to walk on water, even in a storm. And as long as I keep looking at him, as long as I keep my eyes fixed on him and not on the storm, I'm going to be able to keep on walking. There have been times when I've gotten shaky, when I've looked around and said, well, you know, this is impossible. This is impossible. This can't work out good. And I've started to sink, but he has reached down in mercy and grabbed my arm. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author. That means he started your book. He started to write your pages. And the Bible says he is the finisher. If you will let him, he'll write the happy ending. He'll write, and they lived happily ever after. You know those kind of books? I don't like sad ending books. But if you will look unto the author and the finisher of our faith, you could stand with me today. We've been more than an hour or almost. We've been speaking about speaking to your mountain. I challenge you this week. Go into your armory, which is, who's got a Bible? Hold up your Bible. That's your armory. Whatever it is, if it's electronic, pull out a big weapon. Get some scripture. Get loaded up for battle. Remember what I preached about? Are you a civilian or are you a soldier? If you're a civilian, you don't expect to get attacked. But if you're a soldier, you're on your guard. You've got your weapon and you're ready. And you're loaded for bear, as they say. You've got everything armored up. It's time for us to get ourselves armored up so that we can take out our sword and speak to our situation. And I guarantee you that if you can say, and we know that all things work together for good to them that are the called and that love God, it's going to work out. But you have to know the first three words, and we know. When you truly believe that and Satan sees that you believe it, because he then knows that you know who you are. If you don't know who you are, you'll be fearful of him. But when you know who he is and you know who you are, you can speak to your mountain. Hallelujah. I hope that these words have encouraged you, that you will try this out tomorrow morning. You will get up. You will get your sword out. You'll start speak to your situation like Sister Joanne, whatever you're facing. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's physical. I'm keeping speaking to my thumb here that this, whatever it was, tried to attack me, it will not win. I'm going to keep speaking to that situation. If we will speak to our situation using the weapons that God has given us, the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means they're not like a gun or a carbine, but they are spiritual. They are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. You have a stronghold in your life. I have some things I want to change. There's some things in my life I want to do better at. But I'm not giving up because I haven't seen it happen yet. I'm going to be like Elijah. I'm going to keep praying and I'm going to go check. Let's see if there's a little cloud. Pray some more. The cloud's getting bigger. There's rain coming. Pray a little bit more. The rain is coming. That's what I'm encouraging you to do. Do not let Satan deceive you. Jesus is not coming back to deal with sin. He's dealt with it. He said, it is finished. Man's redemption is paid. There is therefore now no condemnation. There's no accusation Satan can put on you if you believe his words. Therefore, if you believe that, then you have power. We can come boldly, Hebrews 4:16, to a throne of grace to receive, Hallelujah. What God has promised for us. If you could bow your heads with me. Lord, we just thank you for this word. We thank you, Father, that your word has gone forth. Help it to find good soil. Oh God, that the seed will be planted, that we will learn to take your word, to eat all of it, oh God, that we may be able to bring forth a harvest of blessing for others, of declaring your power, Lord, that we